This episode is brought to you by Airy Living.
It's March, and that means it's time for a spring clean.
I genuinely look forward to this moment every year. I will purposefully set aside a weekend to clear out the house. There's just no feeling like it.
And nothing says spring clean like a new candle. Or is that just me?
100p on the same page. What is the point of clearing out if you can't treat yourself with a new candle afterwards? New season, new scent, I say.
Okay, so if this conversation speaks to your spring clean soul as much as ours, or you're looking for the perfect candle to give you that cozy reading vibe, then you are going to fall head over heels for this month's gorgeous sponsor, Airy Living.
I feel a sense of well-being just by looking at their website. Their aesthetic is so chic, but just wait until you smell their candles.
They have three dreamy collections to choose from. If, like me, you're looking for a candle to light that's going to boost your mood on a Monday morning or fight off the Sunday scaries, then their aromatherapy collection is going to be the one for you.
Or if you're looking to embrace a bit more of Mother Nature, then head to their botanical collection for scents rich and citrusy or velvety and sweet.
What's more is they are a company you can be proud to invest your money with. Produced out of the UK, Airy use 100% vegan wax. Their oils are free from nasty oils and GMOs, and their packaging is plastic free and fully recyclable.
Oh, and let's not forget that they plant a tree with every order. These will make such thoughtful presents for you or for a loved one, and you can use code RECOS25 for 25% off.
Just head to the link in our bio or our Instagram stories to shop. Thank you, Airy Living. Welcome to Book Recos Between the Pages.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're the pals behind Book Recos.
This is the podcast where we chat all things books and just about everything in between.
Hold on to your hats. Today's episode is a niche Spotify playlist theme.
We'll be pairing rogue playlist titles with book recos. And if that sounds like a bit of you, then play along with us whilst you're listening. Hi, Jess.
Hello, Lauren. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, it could go one way or the other. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did that episode that was just chaos. I feel like today's episode could just be part two of the chaos.
Bring it. I could do chaos.
We definitely can. So today's episode, we're matching Spotify playlist titles with a book. So
do you know what? I find it interesting that you were the one that thought up this game, because first it's usually me being like, Lauren, I've got a game, and they're utter bullshit. But also, I live in a house where whatever we cook for dinner,
yeah,
like we love, there's a playlist on Spotify called Spaghetti Bolognese, which has some absolute bangers on it. And like whatever we're cooking, we'll eat. So one night we did just listen to like traditional Thai music because we were eating Thai. We were like, that's the place for the night. We've got a Sunday brunch playlist that's really good that now we just listen to when it's not Sunday brunch. So I'm all for just typing the mood or the moment into Spotify and seeing what tunes come out.
See, because usually it is pretty good. And yeah. Also there's a new like DJ function on Spotify now. You know how everyone's just going nuts for AI? It's an AI DJ.
Ooh.
Where you can just get AI to, like, it knows what songs you like. I don't know, I feel like that's what Spotify is, actually.
Yeah.
but we did this episode, similar episode, a few years ago for Netflix, just finding, like, really yes. Random Netflix titles, categories, and matching books to them. And it was fun. So why not with Spotify music?
Yeah. Right? Okay, so as per Lauren's instructions about this episode, I've decided to record it in my room with all the books.
Correct. And you have to find a playlist on Spotify. Jess and I've already thought of the playlists mm-hmm. we're going to challenge each other with. And they have like some have brief descriptions of what kind of music they're about. And we can always like pull out a couple of the artists who are in there just to give you a little bit of a flavor for, you know, the vibe of the music so you can match it with the vibe of the book.
Yeah.
Cool.
This would be good. I feel like this is actually an easy brief for finding a book.
Let's hope so.
Let's see. Let's see. Okay. Okay.
So play along at home.
I think I've been kind to you. My first one is going to be like so easy to think of a book for. So the playlist title is Sad Girl Starter Pack. The playlist description says songs that define your music taste as yearning. So that's featuring Tay Swizz, Cigarettes After Sex, and Maggie Rogers.
Yearning.
I've been filling time describing it whilst I hope your juices have been flowing and thinking of a sad girl book.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you gave me a good one because there's a book that literally has this in the title. So obviously that's where my mind has gone. And it's called Sad Girl Novel by Pip Finkemeyer. Again, I've just quickly Googled the synopsis. So bear with me. An Australian expat in Berlin, Kim, is jobless, rootless, and as she's slowly discovering, somewhat useless. This is until a chance encounter with Matthew, who is a hotshot New York literary agent, gives Kim the direction she's been craving for. This year, she will, and this is like a point bullet list, finally write her novel, decide what said novel is actually about, romantically pin down the increasingly flighty Matthew, be less jealous of sharing attention with her best friend's Belle's baby, and convince her therapist that the amount of artichokes she eats doesn't classify as an eating disorder, and stay sane throughout all this process.
I don't think you're sane because you called it a point bullet list and not a bullet point list.
No,
what's up with that?
I'm high on drugs, on pain medication. So this episode can just be an absolute shit show for many, many reasons.
Okay, so Sad Girl Lit is, I think it's a marketing ploy now where it's like, oh, Sad Girl Lit, just because of how well Sorrow and Bliss did. So talk to me about this. Was it good?
It was. I mean, I've heard a lot of people saying that it like revokes is that the right word? Like, it's not sad. It's like an irony because it's not Sad Girl. It's not a Sad Girl novel. Mm. Whereas I read this and I was like, it's 100% a Sad Girl novel. It's like a lost millennial main character who's a bit aimless with her life and doesn't really know what she wants to do and feels sad a lot of the time. So by definition, I think it's a Sad Girl novel. But maybe some parts went over my head and I am just not literary astute enough to see them.
Or maybe people were annoyed that it called itself Sad Girl Novel. It's like if you call yourself, I don't know, if you're like, I'm so random, you know, like back in the day, it's like, are you so random? Or are you just saying that you are? Like, is it that kind of thing?
Throw back to people. Yeah. Just
I was trying to remember.
The word random.
You ever watch Summer Heights High?
No.
Oh. But if anyone did, I'm thinking of like, is it Janelle or Janae or whatever her name is? Because they're so random. So random.
I'm
yeah.
So random.
But so I think maybe that's what pissed people off. Don't call yourself quite sad girl.
Yeah. And like, for me, the main trope is like they're pining after a man who doesn't want them and they just can't get the hint.
Yeah. Sad.
So really sad, sad times for Kim.
Also, I've just realised that the playlist was called Sad Girl Starter Pack. So this could be your starter into Sad
True.
Girl.
True. I really did nail the brief. I did mean to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. I also thought it was funny how the baby, her best friend's baby, is 6 months old and she only ever calls the baby with a capital B. So we never know what the baby's name is. Thought that was funny. Random, hey.
Random, so random.
And I really liked the cover of the book as well. It's just that woman lying with a book open on her face. So if you like sad girl fiction, crack on. You'd probably really like it, and you'd probably really love this playlist by the sounds of it as well.
Yeah.
Okay, Jess, would you like a playlist title?
Very much.
Okie doke. This is Big Vibes Only, and it features eclectic mix of Maroon 5, Benny Blanco, and Lil Mosey.
Interesting mix.
Yeah.
It's not giving any vibes for books. So I'm just going to think about like what book has got so many vibes.
Big vibes for me is like big money as well.
Or is it like all the feels? I'm just looking at my color-coded shelves.
Okay.
We're going to work from blacks to blues to greens. Oh, okay. Well, this is an interesting one because the series in my life, if the series don't have the same colors, they don't sit together on my shelves. I know that must really upset some people, but this series has got an orange book, a blue book, and a green book. They are absolutely separate. And it is the Crazy Rich Asian series by Kevin Kwan, which has got so many vibes. It's got drama, it's got love, it's got funniness, it's got travel, it's got glamour. I read the book before watching the film, and the book is obviously way better, always is, but all three books are so fucking fantastic. And I actually think like the first book is probably the worst of the three. So
really,
yeah, they're all absolutely brilliant.
Which one did I read?
I don't know that you read any of them.
The blue one. I read the blue one. We both got sent it one year.
Nope. I bought mine and you bought me the third one as a Christmas present.
I've definitely read one of them.
No, you read Sex and Vanity, which isn't part of this series.
Oh, is it not?
No. And speaking of, Kevin Kwan has a new book out. Let me just Google what it is because I saw an ad for it the other day. It is called Lies and Weddings. So it sounds kind of like it's going to be like Sex and Vanity and Crazy Rich Asians. And I can't wait. If anyone has been living under a rock, Crazy Rich Asians is about, let me just get it up. New Yorker Rachel Chu does not know that her loving boyfriend Nicholas Young also happens to be Singapore's most eligible bachelor and likely heir to a massive fortune. So when she agrees to spend the summer in Nick's home, her life unexpectedly becomes an obstacle course of old money, new money, nosy relatives and scheming social climbers. And that's all before she discovers the true identity of her long lost father.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a three book escapade of absolute brilliantness.
I mean, I've only ever watched the film. I did actually really like the film.
Yeah, it is a good film. It's just that the book is way better.
Yeah.
The wedding scene in Crazy Rich Asians made me so emotional. In the film.
So, and also it's big vibes. You really nailed the brief. It is a big vibes book.
Big vibes, yeah.
And big money. Big money.
Yeah. More money, more problems. I wonder if that's on the playlist. Right. My next playlist for you.
Okay.
I don't know what it says about the fact that I haven't really clocked that these two playlists are kind of similar. But it's called, I just thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Existential Crisis But Aesthetic. Sadly for you, the playlist description for this one is in another language. But I can tell you that some of the artists include Lorde, Frank Ocean, and Bon Iver.
Okay. So kind of dark music, but very...
It's an existential crisis.
It is, but it's aesthetic, but make it Instagrammable. Okay, God. Well, when I think existential crisis, I'm thinking like it's got to be a book that makes you question like the meaning of life or like makes you think about life.
I see. It makes you have an existential crisis.
Yeah, a little bit. Rather than like existential crisis about climate change.
I was about to say any book about climate change gives me an existential crisis.
But I'm not willing to go there. I don't think our listeners are ready to, you know, be told that the world is on fire. We know that. So I'm thinking it's like a book that makes you think. And actually, I was talking about this book to a friend the other day, and I reckon it could fit this brief.
Okay.
It's another one that's part of a series, actually, but I've only read the first in the series, but I think I can still talk about it. It's Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Toshikazu Kawaguchi, and it's been translated from Japanese by somebody else. And let me just bring up the synop and let's just hope that it fits the brief. If it doesn't, I'm still going to read it anyways.
Okay.
In a small back alley in Tokyo, there is a cafe which has been serving carefully brewed coffee for more than 100 years. But this coffee shop offers its customers a unique experience, the chance to travel back in time. In Before the Coffee Gets Cold, we meet four visitors, each of whom is hoping to make use of the cafe's time traveling offer in order to confront the man who left them, receive a letter from their husband whose memory has been taken by early onset Alzheimer's, to see their sister one last time, and finally to meet the daughter they never got to know. But the journey into the past does not come without risks. Customers must sit in a particular seat. They cannot leave the cafe. And finally, they must return to the present before the coffee gets cold.
Such a good idea for a book.
It's a really great idea for a book.
Have you read any of the others that have come out after?
Oh. No. And it's so, and I forget what they're called actually, but it's a really short book as well. It's like less than 200 pages. I'd say it's probably like 180 pages. And it's very slow. It's like a very slow character-driven book. So you're not there for like facts about time travel, basically. It's a book that's going to make you think about the meaning of life. And
maybe have an existential crisis.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I kind of think I did when I was reading it. It's also really sad. Like a lot of these people going back in time to have conversations and meet people who, you know, they who have died or have lost their memory and so on. So it's very emotional. It's also quite dramatic, like when the coffee gets cold and like they're gonna like trip the universe and that kind of thing. It's a big adventure, I would say, but it's also very aesthetic. And I say that because I feel like the Instagram community has given it this very certain aesthetic as well, and the cover's very beautiful. And
I like how the cover of each of the books since is the same but like a different
color scheme.
But yeah, like that a lot.
They
still wouldn't live together on my shelves, but yeah.
And it like will just make you think, like, if you could go back in time, what point would you go back in time to? And two, you can't change anything. So like it kind of makes you think, like a lot of these characters are kind of like, I wouldn't, like probably wouldn't do it again. You know?
Yeah.
Existential.
Yeah. I don't think I would travel in time.
I think it's a risky game.
Yeah.
Don't play with laws you don't know anything about.
No, and exactly. If you go back in the past and change something, what does it do to you in the future? We've all seen Back to the Future. And I don't really want to know what's coming my way in case it's bad.
Yeah. I wish I could just know.
No, like, I don't want to.
Sometimes when you're worrying about something, for me, I just wish I could just know either way whether that not that thing is going to happen, because I'm going to worry about it anyways. So if it is going to happen, at least I know that, like, I'm not wasting time. Like, it's going to happen. Like, whether it, yeah, I'm these pain meds are
quick. She's having an existential crisis. You do your next playlist for me.
Okay.
I also only thought up two. Have you only done two as well? Just want to check. I haven't underperformed. Okay.
Yeah. So your second playlist is Angry Songs for Angry Girls. And this one didn't have a description, but it does feature music from Avril Lavigne. A lot of Taylor. She's a reoccurring theme, I would say, for all of these playlists. Carrie Underwood. Thought that was kind of jokes. And Ariana Grande.
That one's rogue. But I can see all the others.
But like maybe Thank You Next. Like maybe that's the end of the playlist where you're done being angry.
Yeah.
It's on to the next. Mm. It's like a interstitial.
Okay. So initially, I'm not going to talk about these books because we've recently talked about them all.
Okay.
But I initially thought, well, Holly Bourne writes a lot of angry.
Yeah.
Angry girl books. Like all of them are about how men are such fucking shitheads and it makes you so angry. So, but we talk about them all the time, so I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to look at my nonfiction bookshelf because I totally ignored that last time because it's on the other side of the room. I read a lot of angry books. Climate change book. No. I'm going to do a funny one that has bits of anger in it because no one actually wants to feel angry. So I'm not going to recommend a book that's going to piss you off.
It's a very valid point.
Yeah. Actually. Okay. So this is Amazing Disgrace by Grace Campbell. Let me just get that synop up. Okay. For as long as she can... Sorry, it has a little subtitle that's called A Book About Shame. For as long as she can remember, Grace Campbell has been told that she doesn't suit her name, but being graceful is no fun anyway. Growing up in a world of privilege and politics, she has a lot to feel confident about. But she was also a record breaker when it came to feeling shame. Shame about sex, shame about rejection, shame about mental health. But over time, and with a 24-karat gold dose of female friendship, Grace has turned shame into a defiant sense of self. At only 26, Grace has got a lot to learn about being an adult, but she's already got a lot to share about being a disgrace and how she came to be utterly, disgustingly, disgracefully proud of it. It's the book every young woman should read and every young man should worry about.
That's so good.
Yeah. Line. Well, and the picture... have I talked about this before? I don't think I have. I feel like I've said this out loud before. The picture is her riding a cloud shaped like a penis.
That's hilarious. I feel like you spoke about it when it got delivered in the post, maybe.
Maybe. And I've just opened it and it's reminded me of how big the text is in the hardback. And I remember this. I still actually think about this book a lot. So she went to school with Dua Lipa. And like in this book, she writes a letter to Dua Lipa apologizing for being mean to her. Cause she was like, I was actually just so jealous of you at school and used to like sing really loudly down the corridors. I thought it was so annoying, but actually you're really cool and a mega superstar now. And I'm sorry.
She owned it though.
She claimed
that she's besties with her.
Yeah. I've just opened to a page that's written like a script and it's titled Dickheads Anonymous. Matthew, Tom, Joe and Will, Grace Rejectors, are at Dickheads Anonymous, a support group for recovering dickheads. And then it's a script. So it's all very funny, all very tongue-in-cheek, but it does cover some quite serious topics. But she does it all in quite a funny way. It's very nostalgic. If you're someone that gets a lot of joy out of remembering... Well, like we did earlier when we remembered the phrase so random. Like it's... full of these little nuggets that will take you right back, especially if you're similar sort of age to us. I guess if she wrote this at 26 and I read it a few years ago, she might actually be our age.
Yeah. I think she's...
this age anyway.
Yeah.
I would say a lot to get angry about in this book, but you won't go away in a bad mood because it's so funny and fun and makes you think and it's liberating and it's got a cloud dick on the cover, so...
Side note, she did an event with my
Jamila.
Work.
I saw she's with Jamila Jamil all the fucking time at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She did an event with my work a few weeks ago. I wasn't part of it, but I went to it. And the team who had to brief her were like, basically said to her, you can swear, but please just don't say cunt.
I believe just said it on our podcast.
I know, but I can't, what else can I say?
C word.
C bomb. Sorry.
Anyway, carry on.
But that was like her only thing. Like she was then like so obsessed that she couldn't say it that she then said it. So
it's like don't press the red button.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. But she was very funny.
She's a comedian now.
Yeah.
So that checks out.
She's got a podcast, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Doesn't everyone?
Yeah.
Look at us. Okay, that was not as stressful as I thought it was going to be for you. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Proud. That's growth right there.
Yeah, and it's really, I keep putting on stories like I'm going to have a book clear out and then running out of time to have the book clear out. But I am in a severe situation where there's just books fucking everywhere because they don't fit on the shelves anymore. So that will come. And this has really made me think about it.
Good. I'm glad it was constructive on many levels.
Enjoy. Go and listen to those playlists.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, like, subscribe, leave a rating and review. It costs you nothing, but it genuinely means the world to us.
And don't forget to share our podcast with your reading buddy because they might like to listen as well. And if you don't already, then follow us on Instagram at BookRecos for, funnily enough, more book recommendations.
See you next week.
We'll be here.